1, 2, 3. Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Oh, it feels good just to be talking to somebody at 1 o'clock right now. You know, we've been knocked off the air, of course, due to our coverage of the Senate impeachment hearings on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. And due to our special coverage of those Senate impeachment hearings, we are just on Facebook right now. Just on Facebook.com/WKAR News. Deciding to do a Facebook live show for you guys in light of being off the airwaves, the official airwaves of AM 870 and 105.1 FM. And, of course, you may be listening to the podcast version of the show at WKAR.org right now. But, you know, when I got notified that we wouldn't be live on the air for at least the rest of the week concerning these hearings and our coverage of those hearings, you know, we weren't on the air yesterday, and I got some feedback from you guys saying, "Ah, well, at least can you go live on Facebook? Can you do that for us?" And I said, "Yeah, why not?" Because we've done that in the past when we've been knocked off, and that was during the House of Representatives impeachment hearings. So we're coming just live to you all on Facebook.com/WKAR News. Thank goodness for social media, right? This is the good aspect of social media. And we're going to treat this just like we do any other current sports show. You know, we may not go all the way until 2 p.m. You know, this allows us some flexibility here. You know, we may end the thing at 1:45, 1:50, who knows? We're just going to ride the wave. How's that sound, guys? But I wanted to come on the air, especially for today, because there's just so much to get to. This is a very busy week, just like this week and the coming weeks will be in the world of sports as we continue to mow through the regular season in men's college basketball. A lot of games taking place that have end of the year implications for many teams who are trying to win the conference and possibly, you know, make a case for an NCAA tourney bid. Of course, following the Michigan State men's basketball team who now embarks on a 2-game road trip away from the Breslin Center this week, as they will begin that road trip against Indiana on Thursday night, and then they will travel to Minnesota. And Tom Izzo, you know, he spoke during his weekly press conference yesterday, and he mentioned that the team is exactly just gonna do this. They're gonna play at Indiana, then hop on a plane or a bus or whatever, and go straight to Minnesota. They will not be coming to Michigan to rev up for a couple of days before taking on Minnesota this weekend. They are going to go straight to Minnesota, stay in game mode, stay focused, and hopefully we're looking at two Michigan State wins there, right? So I'll just touch you on what Tom Izzo had to say during his press conference yesterday. Also, I want to dive into another major story coming out of men's college basketball, and that concerns Kansas and Kansas State last night. You know, I got a notification on my phone that did not come from ESPN. That notification came from major news outlets like MSNBC and CNN that noted a benches-clearing brawl between these two rival schools. This brawl is getting a lot of attention. Some troubling things happened inside that brawl. You're going to get my take on that in just a moment. Okay, and last but not least, I do want to touch on the Baseball Hall of Fame and Derek Jeter, Kalamazoo's own, one of the greatest players of all time, one of the most classy individuals to ever wear the pinstripes out in New York City. He made the Hall in his first year of eligibility, but he was not unanimous. He was not unanimous. I am going to address that conversation later on this hour as well. So, thank you so much for tuning into this Facebook Live and WKAR.org edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Due to just being online only, we will not be opening up our phone lines. You can weigh in by tweeting me at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. And, of course, you can comment right below the live stream at Facebook.com/WKAR News. But no phone calls. All right? So our phone lines will not be open this hour. All right? We've got Alec Rio behind the glass manning this ship. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, let's start here. Attorneys for an ex-Michigan State University football staffer, that former football staffer being former recruiting coordinator, Curtis Blackwell. Well, his attorneys want more time to question head coach Mark D'Antonio, as D'Antonio's attorneys say the coach has already answered the necessary questions. Curtis Blackwell's attorney said a federal judge allowed them 7 hours to question Coach D, but only got 5 hours and 55 minutes during a January 10th deposition in Grand Rapids because the federal courthouse closed for the day. Blackwell's attorney said in court filings, D'Antonio's attorneys have refused to schedule a follow-up session. Coach D's attorneys say the coach answered all necessary questions and Blackwell only wants to explore, quote, irrelevant topics. So, Blackwell's attorney, who is Tom Wernicke, he said on Monday that he asked Magistrate Judge Sally Behrens to give him an additional hour and 5 minutes to question D'Antonio. Blackwell left Michigan State in May of 2017 after D'Antonio let his contract expire. He filed a federal lawsuit in November of 2018 against D'Antonio, former MSU president Luana Simon, former athletic director Mark Hollis, and two members of the MSU Police Department, Detective Chad Davis and Sam Miller. Now, he argues he was wrongfully arrested and accused of covering up sexual assault complaints made against three football players. Blackwell is seeking at least $75,000 in damages, lost wages, and other costs. We'll keep you updated if we hear of any updates concerning whether or not Blackwell's attorneys will, in fact, get some extra time to question Coach D'Antonio. All right. Well, moving along, I want to let you guys know about a commit for Michigan State football, as Michigan State just made a late addition to its incoming recruiting class, that being Josiah Robinson, who is a 2020 defensive end from Groveport Madison High School out in Ohio. He announced his commit to the Spartans on Wednesday morning. So this morning via Twitter, that was just 5 days after he reported receiving an offer from Michigan State. This is what Josiah Robinson's tweet read. Quote, first off, I would like to thank God for blessing me with this opportunity to go to college and play at the next level. I would like to thank my parents for the love and support every day. I also like to thank my coaches, friends, and teammates for making me a better player. With that being said, I'm very excited to announce that I will be committing to Michigan State University. And then Josiah has a nice little picture with him donning his high school football uniform. He's in pads and a helmet. He's got what seems to me to be a scarlet jersey with Michigan State logos above his head. And it says Josiah Robinson committed. So congratulations to Josiah Robinson on committing to Michigan State. He stands at 6'3", 222 pounds. He doesn't have a 247 sports ranking. He is listed by 247 sports as a three-star prospect, actually, and the number 98th strong side defensive end in the 2020 class. So he told 247 Sports last week that Michigan State had been recruiting him for a couple of years, but didn't extend an offer until recently because he needed to improve his grades. Let that be a lesson to all of our young listeners out there who are pursuing athletics. Got to get the grades right and tight. He also said coaches told him that they are not sure if he will play defensive end or more inside to tackle. So Robinson's reported offers included Ball State, Eastern Illinois, and West Virginia State. All right, Juwan Howard, he has stressed the family atmosphere and he wants to create, with Michigan basketball since being hired in May. And he's shown that he meant it, in some cases, literally. The latest example being his scholarship offer to his youngest son, Jet. Yeah, the class of 2022. Announced the offer via Twitter on Tuesday, quote, blessed and thankful to receive an offer from the University of Michigan. That's what Howard wrote. He included the iconic photo of the Fab Five in front of a lowered basket, his father second from left on that iconic photo, of course. So that's what Jet Howard wrote on Twitter on Tuesday. Howard, coaching one of his sons, would not be unprecedented. At Detroit Mercy right now, head coach Mike Davis coaches his son, Antoine. Tress Tinkle plays for his father, Wayne, at Oregon State. And Howard's predecessor at Michigan, John Beilein, coaches his son, Patrick, at West Virginia. And let's not forget about Tom Izzo, right, who is currently coaching Stephen Izzo here at Michigan State University. So we'll see if that father-son connection, how that blossoms, I should say, once Jet dons the maize and blue. All right, the Detroit Pistons have been granted a $9.2 million disabled player exemption because of the season-ending knee injury to Blake Griffin. The exemption ends on March 10th. The request was submitted earlier this month. It's unlikely to be used, though. That's what many are predicting because the Pistons are up against the league's luxury tax line and have a full roster of 15 players currently under contract. But the trade deadline is February 6th, and if the Pistons make a move, that exemption could be used to address the roster. Now, Griffin played in 18 games this year before electing to have surgery on his left knee, which was operated on at the end of last season, too. He is owed, this is crazy, just over $75 million. Yes, I'll say that again for the people in the back. He is owed just over $75 million in the next two seasons. I'll just say that. That's my take on that. Hard-hitting analysis there for me. All right, the injury news is piling on like a snowstorm right now for Detroit Pro Sports, specifically, again, concerning the Pistons and the Red Wings. Red Wings forward Anthony Mantha, he will be out at least another month, and coach Jeff Blashill didn't rule out the possibility that he may not return this year. Blashill, speaking to the media after practice on Tuesday out in Minnesota, he said, quote, it's going to be a long process before he's healed, end quote. Asked if there is a possibility he might miss the remainder of the season, Blashill said, quote, I think there's always a chance. I don't anticipate that, but there's a chance. Mantha was injured on December 2-1 in Toronto when he was slown-footed and slammed to the ice by Jake Muzin, during a confrontation late in the game. On December 27th, following Christmas break, Blashill said Mantha would be out at least 4 weeks due to, quote, rib type issues and things associated with that. All right, and this is pretty cool. The city of Las Vegas, unveiled its plans on Tuesday for April's NFL draft, which includes a stage in the middle of the Bellagio fountains where prospects will be transported by boat. I kid you not. As part of the official arrival event to kick off the weekend. I mean, you got to see the mock-up draw-ups of this whole thing on Twitter. It's very, very cool. The more normal NFL draft main stage and the NFL draft experience will be down the road and backdropped by the high roller near the link. But the part that had social media buzz was the floating red carpet. That's insane. The three-day event begins April 23rd, and at least part of the Las Vegas Strip will be shut down during that time. So the NFL main stage next to the Caesars Forum is where Roger Goodell will get all the chest bumps from draftees and boos from all the attending fans. And next door at the NFL draft experience is where fans can test that 40-yard dash time and more. But you got to see the mock-ups of this thing. I mean, traveling by boat when you hear your name called. And then you shake Roger Goodell's hand. Oh, that's awesome. You got to do it big. It's Vegas. All right, it's Las Vegas. Okay, Michigan authorities executed a search warrant at the home and the gym of former U.S. Olympic gymnastics coach John Gettert on Tuesday morning as part of an investigation tied to the Larry Nassar case. Local police are looking for financial records and documents related to Gettert's Twist Stars USA Gymnastics Club outside of Lansing, Michigan, and other gymnastics-related organizations. A spokeswoman for the Michigan Attorney General, Dana Nessel, confirmed that search warrants were executed at Gettert's home and gym. And if you want more on that story, simply go to WKAR.org as our very own Scott Pohl had a summary of what's going on there. And Derek Jeter came within one vote of being a unanimous pick for the Hall of Fame. And Larry Walker also earned baseball's highest honor yesterday. Jeter, the longtime New York Yankees captain, appeared on 396 of 397 ballots cast by the Baseball Writers Association of America, falling just one vote shy of the standard set. Set last year when longtime Yankees teammate Mariano Rivera became the first unanimous selection. Jeter's 99.7 voting percentage moved above Ken Griffey Jr., 99.3%, for the second highest. Walker got 304 votes, six above the 75% needed, and up from 54.6 last year. But my question to you is, do you have a problem with Derek Jeter not being a unanimous selection to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame? Got a problem with that? And you know, the thing about the Hall of Fame is, you know, you don't have to disclose who you voted for. You don't have to come out publicly in the public eye and say, I voted for Derek Jeter or I didn't vote for Derek Jeter. So that lone person, whoever that person is, does not have to face the music publicly. I'm pretty sure if he did, he or she did, they would be getting some hate mail. All right, so there you have that. 517-355-9527. Why am I saying that number when the phone lines aren't open? It's just a habit, Alec. It is just a habit. The phone, don't call that number. Don't call that number. I tell you, we are creatures of habit as human beings, aren't we? I'm so used to pubbing that phone number. My goodness, it's like clockwork in my brain. Don't pick up the phone because we are just on social media today due to the Senate impeachment hearings that are airing live on WKAR 105.1 FM and AM 870. All right, so you can weigh in by commenting at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below the live stream if you feel so compelled to. And also, you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
And that'll do it, this version block to finish. And DeSosa blocks it, and now the bench is empty. Just unnecessary.
Yep. That's not good. This is bad.
Oh, this is bad.
No.
No good. Oh, this is terrible.
There are going to be ramifications for this going forward.
And it's just no point to it. Yeah, that is not acceptable.
I would get my team to the locker room right now. There were definitely punches thrown.
Yeah.
These officials cannot leave the floor until they sort this out. And this could have ramifications going forward for both teams.
Yeah.
This puts I know the crowd is cheering, and that's fine. I get it, rivalry, but this is going to put a damper on the both
programs.
It's
just a bad look.
Yeah. Gordon stole the ball, and DeSosa walks over him, which is the beginning of what is a dumb play. And then you'll see the punch is thrown, and DeSosa just goes Holyfield. And then obviously, it looks like a K-State guy comes in here. And DeSosa picked up a chair, which is even more ludicrous.
You just can't do it.
You just can't do that. You just can't do it. That's quite the way to start the first topic here on today's WKAR's Current Sports. Again, a online only version of Current Sports due to our continuing coverage of the Senate impeachment hearings, which you can listen to on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. And you know, some breaking news concerning that moment. If you haven't heard, if you've been living under a rock these past 24 hours and don't know what in the world that sound bite was, well, that was audio from last night's rivalry matchup between Kansas State and Kansas from the world of men's college basketball. That ended in a brawl. It was an all-out, you know, I had memories of Malice at the Palace when watching what happened last night between those two teams. And, you know, some breaking news concerning one of those players who I believe was, you know, who had a hand in instigating it. He was the guy that instigated this whole thing, that being Kansas forward Silvio DeSosa. He has been suspended indefinitely for his role in that brawl. Kansas announced the suspension today, actually just minutes ago, in a statement from head coach Bill Self of Kansas. The school did not reveal a specific length for DeSosa's suspension or additional punishment for any other player, citing that joint review that will happen with the Big 12 Conference. So they're going to sit down, look at this brawl from multiple angles. I mean, for those who are watching that live, it was so weird, so mind-blowing, because this brawl happens. It got really, really ugly. Silvio DeSosa actually picked up a chair at one point. Thank goodness he let it go. I believe it was an assistant coach that came over and said, "Get that out your hand." He basically slapped it out of his hand. He let it go behind his back. And the brawl continues, but this new rule in college basketball, you know, is intact, where if a game ends on something like, you know, the ball going out of bounds or shot clock expiring and leaving, anytime, if there is any time left on the official game clock, the teams have to finish it out. You know, if there's just 0.1 seconds, tenths of a second left in that game, you got to play that whole thing out. You can't leave that 0.1 on the clock. So there was still some time left. So after this brawl happens, very dangerous, very violent, both teams go to the locker room. Then you have this moment where the referees are actually looking at, and I think that the rules should just go out the window when it comes to a circumstance like this. But the referees, they're looking at, okay, when did the ball go out of bounds? How much time was left? Because according to this new rule, we got to play out the game. So even though the players are back in the locker room, very upset, very frustrated, coaches are probably yelling at them for what just took place, the referees have to go in that locker room and say, hey, we need five players from your team, five players from your team. You guys got to come out here and play out the rest of this game. Oh, and by the way, since it did end in a benches-clearing brawl, we got to issue a few technical fouls here and there. So designate somebody to shoot some technical foul free throws and then dribble out the clock. That's how crazy that was last night. And to show you just how much attention this story is getting, as I stated before the headliners, I mean, I didn't get the notification about this brawl from ESPN.com. I got this notification based on national news services. That's how big the story has become. And for me, look, I'll say this. Is this ugly? Is it totally classless? Is it troubling? For sure. It is. Anytime in sports where it goes beyond competition on the field or on the court, and it now becomes violent, where you are throwing punches, let alone picking up chairs like it's the WWE, it has gone way too far. You have crossed the line, and now we're talking about inflicting violence, physical violence on another human being, which is not in anybody's. It shouldn't be in anybody's moral code to do that. All right? You should be looking at some jail time that goes beyond just some kind of suspension, all right? But, you know, there is the part of me, Alec, I could not help but think about this last night. I've been having a lot of conversations with people about this since last night. You know, my homies immediately hit me up and said, oh, did you see this brawl? Look at it. And my homies from Detroit are mostly looking at the specifics of the fight, show you what they're looking at. Oh, who got the best punch in? Who, you know, stuff like that. You know how guys talk. And, you know, we're sitting there talking and we're kind of laughing at it because there's the part of me that says this, man, look, boys will be boys and fights happen in sports. I know for me, I was a hothead. I tell people all the time, man, during my competitive years back at good old Annapolis High School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, I was a different person. I'm nice, Al, when you see, hey, beautiful people, yeah. But when I get on a basketball court and I get into competition, man, something used to flip in me and I kind of became another person. Alec, I'm still uber competitive. I'll chop your head off, dude. Don't get me wrong. When I'm competing, okay? Not literally, folks. No, not literally. Chop your head off, all right? I have to say that in 2020 today. but you know what I mean. I'm fiery. And especially growing up on the west side of Detroit, in the streets of Detroit, playing pickup ball at St. Suzanne School, across the street, playing street ball there, emotions would get hot. And I had a brawl or two on those courts, you know, where things crossed the line, something was said that I didn't like, you know, some shoving, the game got a little too physical, and boys will be boys, and you duke it out. Okay, so there's a part of me that looked at this and said, look, Sylvia DeSosa, game is over. Totally just, and the dude who's the Kansas State player who stole the basketball, it's like, dude, the game is over. But Sylvia DeSosa, and it's a rivalry matchup, let's take that in consideration as well. Sylvia DeSosa says, oh, you're not just going to get an easy layup here. You're my rival. You steal the ball when you're getting blown out. Take that and blocks it. I have no problem with the block. But Alec, I'm not letting any grown man then taunt me and stand over me after sending my shot to Neptune there's going to be a little confrontation here. I'm going to say something, and we're going to have a conversation about that, and it may escalate a bit. Now, the brawl should have it should not have escalated to a brawl. It should have just been a one-on-one conversation between those two players. Because okay, I get it. You block me like that, then you stand over me and stare me down. That's not going to fly with me. You know, it should have been a normal interaction between two highly competitive players. Maybe some verbal jabs here and there. Your players, teammates, break it up. Let's go to the locker room. This game is over. But then the bench is clear. There was obviously some built-up, pent-up frustration here that had been boiling throughout the entire game. And again, keep in consideration, it's a rivalry matchup. This is like Michigan and Michigan State, okay? So the moment the bench is cleared, that's for me, where this whole thing went wrong. And then you have punches being thrown. I mean, and then you have people being, grabbed and tossed here and there. And then DeSosa, a clear line you don't cross. And this is why I had Malice at the Palace flashbacks, because we all know how that whole thing happened. And that was not just player on player, player versus player fights. That's Ron Artest went into the stands and involved fans as well, and fans were on the court. And then a chair was thrown in that situation as well by a fan, if I remember correctly. But Sylvia DeSosa to pick up a chair, and at first glance, looking at the video, I thought that Sylvia DeSosa picked up the chair and then just let it go behind his back. But then I looked again, and it looked as though an assistant coach came and actually kind of like got his hand on the chair once he cocked it back behind his head and kind of swatted it down. And I'm like, dude, oh man, DeSosa could have done some damage there if he really had intention of throwing that chair. So does he deserve to be suspended? For sure. I may suspend this player, this young man, for the next 10, 11 games. I wouldn't be surprised if they suspend him, and I wouldn't be against him, frankly, if they suspended him for the rest of the season. And by the way, doing some digging this morning, I didn't know that Sylvia DeSosa actually had a suspension. I believe it was last season for taking improper benefits, which I have no problem with that whole thing. You guys know how I stand on that, okay? And the whole college athletes being paid, and you can't borrow from your uncle or your mom or your dad. It's ridiculous to me. So I'm not holding that against Sylvia DeSosa, but he has had that trouble in the past. For what that's worth, it's worth nothing to me. I just want to mention that to give you guys the full scope. All right, the full scope of the story. But you can't do something like this. But there's another layer, Alec, I have to bring up that I always think about, dude. You're a hockey fan. You're a diehard hockey fan. And what is a part of the culture of hockey? Fights, right? Fights happen all the time in hockey.
See, but
tempers flare all the time in that sport. What about baseball? Baseball. We've seen in baseball as well where the dugout's clear and you have these brawls with different players and fights and punches are thrown and blah, blah, blah. And I am just going to say this. I believe there is all, and I just can't help but think about it. And this is the kind of conversation that I had with my guys last night in our group text. When it's a bunch of brothers, When it's a bunch of brothers out there on a basketball court brawling, there is a subconscious visual that happens in the minds of many people that says to yourself, "Oh, this is bad. These guys look like a bunch of fill in the blank." Okay, and I said to myself all the time, "This happens all the time in hockey. This happens all the time in baseball, and it does not get near as much attention as what we saw last night." Do I agree with players fighting each other in the context of any professional sport? Not at all. I don't think it should go that far. But it's a part of, like, again, you like hockey. It's ingrained in that culture. But the fact that we're giving the story that much attention, I don't know if it's just, Alec. I just don't.
I agree
boys
with you.
Boys will be boys.
Okay? I agree with you. I agree with you that, you know, like that image of, you know, like, oh, you know, a predominantly black sport, you know, and then there's brawls that happen. And I could definitely see how people would paint that a different picture. I feel like with hockey, though, like with fighting and stuff, the reason why they let that happen is because most of the time within like 30 seconds of it, you know, they're already tired out because they're balancing, you know, on skates, and it's so much harder to fight while on skates. And, you know, I feel like that's a part of the reason why they let that happen. Because baseball, you know, there aren't really that many fights, you know, that aren't broken up immediately. I mean, do you really see brawls that happen where it's just full on punches? There are a couple in baseball, but I mean, most of it gets broken up before anything ever happens.
And this is a point I want to mention as well. I think David mentioned this on our Facebook page here. The fact that, you know, innocent people were in jeopardy here. And that's the thing. When you look at this video, I mean, you do see, I saw a woman who may have been a part of the athletic training staff or, you know, she was there yelling at players, trying to get them to calm down. You had assistant coaches out there that aren't young and spry, you know, trying to hold back these kids. You know what I mean? And they're kids. You know, these are kids still. You know, a lot of them are fresh out of high school and are still trying to figure out who they are. And looking at this, I don't know. There's just some layers here where I'm not looking at this and saying to myself, oh my goodness, these young men are totally tarnishing the game here. This happens in sports. Mm-hmm. This happens. And at the end of the day, they are going to have to pay for the damage they did, but I'm not going to overreact here and say these are bad individuals here. This happens in sports. This is the nature of it. And tempers flare from time to time. There are fights that happen at the pros still to this level, okay? Mm-hmm. In 2020, in college sports, maybe not to this magnitude, but they still happen. So I just don't want us as a society overreacting to this, because this isn't the norm in college sports. Am I right or am I wrong?
Oh yeah, I mean, there wasn't even that much of a reaction. Do you remember the brawl that happened in the Australian Basketball League with Thon Maker? Remember that brawl that Thon Maker was involved in, where he delivered that front? That was about like 6 months ago. That was within the last year. It was in the Australian Basketball League, or it was New Zealand or Australian. But like I said, Thon Maker was involved in it, and you know, of course, for like a day, you know, ESPN is gonna, you know, play it over and over and over again. But it didn't have nearly as much coverage as this fight did yesterday.
I know, and that's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and totally flip my wig about this story. Was it shocking? Yes, shocking from the standpoint, simply from we don't see this a lot in college basketball. We don't see this a lot in college sports, but it does happen. I keep thinking about, too, you know, the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry, when you had Devin Bush and his whole fit in the middle of Spartan Stadium, and he scuffs up the Spartan logo, you know, and Michigan State arm in arm locked, and you don't want to leave the field. That could have ended up in a really crazy brawl. Thank goodness. I mean, some people keep their emotions in check more than others, right? Because those Michigan State football players, when that happened, they just unlocked their arms, said a few words, and continued to walk down the field. I talked to Darian Harris and a few other former Michigan State football players who said to me that if that happened, and Darian's okay with me, you know, letting this out. If people are saying, "Ow, oh, don't let that out," if he told you that in confidentiality. But no, Darian has gone on the record to say this on television, and he told me this on the radio as well, if you remember. But if this had happened while he was playing with his teammates, it wouldn't have just been some words. Probably it would have gotten physical. Let's just say that. So emotions are high. These are young boys still. You know, none of them can go into, you know, your local spot and order a pop. You know, they're still figuring things out. Emotions are high. These are two rivalry schools. It's sports. All right. Do they deserve to be punished, though? Because, again, a few of them took it totally out of hand. Yeah, look at the video. Look at the video and suspend them accordingly. But let's not sit here and act like this hasn't happened before. It's our first break. When we come back, I want to touch on the Hall of Fame And Derek Jeter not becoming a unanimous selection to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Big deal or not, we'll discuss that. You are listening to this online only version of WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you on this Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Getting a lot of reaction on our Facebook page right now, Alec, concerning, you know, our top topic of the day, that being the Kansas and Kansas State brawl. Ben comments and says, the benches clearing brawl between Kansas and Kansas State never should have happened if it weren't for the Kansas player, DeSosa, stealing the ball from the Kansas player, Kansas State player, in the closing seconds of the game. And if the Kansas player that blocked the shot hadn't stood over the top of the Kansas player, Kansas State player, afterwards, both of those players are at fault. Yeah, I can see that, man. I mean, you're going to have an it shouldn't have escalated to a brawl. You know, the fact that I'll pause right there and say this. The fact that it escalated to into a brawl, that lets me know that there had been some emotion brewing throughout the entire game. All right, this just wasn't some kind of personal thing between those two players. This was a highly emotional game. Some words were probably said before the game, during the game. Emotions were high, and both of those teams were looking for anything that gave them some kind of perceived justification to throw them hands. That's what it says to me. Period. And that's what happens when you have rivalry matchups. That's what happens. You know, it's just, you know, it's that old saying, you know, my uncle has a saying that I wish somebody would. You know, like, it's one of those situations for me, Alec, that, you know, you're saying to yourself, okay, oh, you keep talking mess? All right, well, my emotions are pretty high. I wish you would give me an excuse to lead this bench. And that block at the end and the standover was their misperceived justification for those two teams to go out there and do what they did. And it was not right. So Ben goes on to say they all put the fans at risk, and the Kansas player who grabbed this chair and held it above his head should be suspended for the rest of the year, for the rest of the regular season. He should have to sit out the conference tournament and the NCAA tournament. Then you have David commenting and saying, these are not boys. They are young men, many of whom are getting expenses paid for college education. Does not matter a rivalry game. Emotions must be kept in check. Innocent people were in jeopardy for their safety. I totally hear where you're coming from, David. You know, in a perfect world, yeah. You know, you would like everybody to keep their emotions in check and everybody be classy. But it goes out the window, man. You know, emotions make us do some very stupid things. And when we act impulsively off of emotion, we can regret a lot of different things. I just think about, you know, my dating past, Alec. You know, when I've been very emotional about somebody I'm dating, I did some stupid things. Acting off of emotion and not my head. You know, spending way too much money on that person because emotionally I like that person. But then my bank account is like, Al, what are you doing? I'm dying here. So when we act on emotion, when emotions are involved, we can do some pretty stupid things. And these young men were doing some pretty stupid things here. So, and then people are kind of going back and forth about, the innocent people who were sitting close to the game, and their safety was in jeopardy there. And Alex comments and says, well, it's their choice to sit that close. So, I mean, and I kind of see the point that Alex is making as well. Like, yeah, I mean, basketball, when you purchase those nice front row seats at a basketball game, hey, some things can happen. You can't be on that smartphone of yours tweeting and Snapchatting and Insta-chatting the whole time, because a ball may come your way, somebody diving for a loose ball may come your way, and I guess the occasional brawl may come your way. So, some really interesting points of view on our Facebook page there. So any thoughts on any of those, Alec?
Yeah, so I do agree that, the suspension, being suspended indefinitely, that was a proper call for D'Souza's actions. But in the video, you could see where he was restraining himself from swinging that stool or that chair.
Do you think he was maybe looking for somewhere to throw it, though? Because I don't know if he was restraining himself. He picked that thing up and he had a look in his eye.
He did.
And if it wasn't for that assistant coach, I just think to myself, if it wasn't for that assistant coach behind him, what would he have done?
I don't know. I think he was having like a moral, debate going on in his head, like whether or not that's the move that he should be doing. Because I remember, I don't know, like to me, his face looked like he was like thinking really hard about what he was about to do. And then like by the time he could have made a decision, that's when the assistant coach stepped in. But, I agree that he should have been suspended indefinitely for his accent. You can't just pick up a chair like that and then, hold it in a threatening manner,
Right.
But if he would have actually thrown it or hit somebody with it, then I could definitely see him getting suspended for the rest of the season or completely from college basketball, because you can't just, swing a chair at someone like that, like the WWE or something. Unless
like you're a cough, Bobby Knight.
Yeah, exactly. Throwing the chair across the room.
What happened with Bobby Knight? Can we Google that? What happened when Bobby Knight threw that chair across the court? Because
I'm looking it up right now.
Near the cheerleaders or something like that. Remember that?
No, I remember it swung, it flew across the court.
Yeah, across the court. It didn't get any air time on it. He kind of like shoved it. He threw it and it just stayed on the hardwood. And I think it landed near the cheerleaders. I'm curious to know what happens when a head coach throws a chair. but yeah, all right, with 10 minutes left, I want to address this now. Derek Jeter was not a unanimous selection to make the Baseball Hall of Fame. He came one vote short of joining his former teammate in Mariano Rivera as possibly becoming the only two players to be voted unanimous selections to make the Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter, in his first year of eligibility, no matter what, he is still a Hall of Famer. But how big of a deal is it? Because, I always say this, and I thought, I have to let this be known. I thought when Derek Jeter was asked about this, and he's going to be asked about this all the way up until he is officially inducted into Cooperstown, all the way up until that moment when they call his name up for that 12-minute speech, he is going to be asked about, what do you feel when you look at things and you weren't a unanimous selection? And Derek Jeter, he was asked about it yesterday, and he said, look, man, it's hard for anybody to agree on anything nowadays. I'm just grateful, and I'm happy that I am now a Hall of Famer, and I'll be inducted. It's hard to get 390-plus individuals to all agree on one thing, and that was the right response. And I'll put this in perspective for anybody out there who looked at that story and were absolutely appalled that Derek Jeter was not a unanimous selection. Look. There is only, just think about it. Can we just sit back and think about this and use some logic here? There is only one player in the history of baseball. I mean, we can bring up Babe Ruth. We can bring up Joe DiMaggio. We can bring up the greatest hitter of all time and Ted Williams. I mean, we could go on and on and on here. There has been only one player
out of all the great Ken Griffey Jr., my guy, one player in the history of the game, out of all of the great names you can bring up, that has been a unanimous selection for the Baseball Hall of Fame. And that was Mariano Rivera. So are we really appalled? Are we really surprised here? For me, Alec, this isn't a big deal. The fact that he was one vote short is a big deal to me because I didn't think he was going to be that close to being a unanimous selection. Because you know why? We live in a society now where there's always going to be that guy, that one guy who says, no, you weren't. I mean, I have debates here. I mean, that's what sports are, right? You know, we sports are about comparison and sports are about debate. We love it. That's the beauty of sports. And everybody has an opinion on players and teams and so on and so forth. And when it comes to every baseball player that has made the Hall of Fame, I mean, shouldn't Ted Williams be a unanimous selection? Greatest hitter of all time? Shouldn't Babe Ruth have been? Joe DiMaggio, all these guys, man. So the fact that DJ was not a unanimous selection and came one vote shy, I'm more so surprised that he was that close. Because I thought it was going to be at least, you know, four or five guys out there that were just going to hate. And don't get me wrong, Derek Jeter, one of the GOATs to do it, both on the field and away from the field, Alec. One of the best to do it. So classy. But let's be real here. Derek Jeter had his struggles. Would you say Derek Jeter is the greatest shortstop of all time? No, he's not. He's not. Derek Jeter benefited by playing for the New York Yankees when he went up to bat in those situational moments. That's what Derek Jeter is arguably one of the, you know, the top three greatest clutch players of all time. When you needed him to make a play, when you needed him to smack that ball and bring in somebody, he was going to do it. And he benefited from having a lot of ducks on the pond when he was in those moments because he played alongside so many all-stars. I'm not taking away anything from Derek Jeter. He is one of the all-time greatest to do it. But I'm not going to sit here and say he was the greatest shortstop of all time. So other players who I believe are greater than him, if they weren't unanimous selections, I did not expect Derek Jeter to be a unanimous selection. That's where I'm coming from it at. Should he have been? Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, Derek Jeter, when you look at his numbers and his accomplishments, sure. But in comparison to those who weren't unanimous selections, yeah, this is about on par. And I'm just shocked that he was this close to making that happen. And I love DJ's response to it, you know. And in baseball today, you know, this is a man who played through a lot of different major storylines that were going on in the game of baseball. You know, he played through the steroid era and was still so consistent, so good. I love the write-up that Sports Illustrated had. I encourage anybody out there listening to check it out. But they talk about DJ's struggles because, you know, a lot of people forget he went straight from high school to the pros. And Derek Jeter really struggled. He really, really struggled during that time. And, you know, I believe that was like year like 1992, something like that. And, you know, he talks about how, you know, he questioned whether or not he made the right decision to make the jump to the majors because he was struggling so much. He had a ridiculous amount of errors and he would go out on his balcony and just cry, you know. So, you know, to go from that to being a Hall of Famer, you know, that wasn't the goal for him. He was just trying to become a consistent player. So it's pretty amazing, man. And, again, looking at his quote, well, I look at all the votes I got. Do you know how hard it is to get that many people to agree on anything? It takes a lot of votes to get elected into the Hall of Fame. That is the response that you make. Alec, any thoughts? Because I know you were actually very appalled before the show. You know, you were, you know, I think you had planned to drop, you know, I, you may be surprised with my take there, but you were actually very appalled that Derek Jeter did not become the second player in the history of baseball to become a unanimous selection to make the Hall of Fame. I'm not surprised here.
Yeah, no, I totally understand, you know, since there's only one player in history that's only unanimously won, you know, But it's just, to me, it's just, why do you have to be that one guy, though? It's just the one guy. I'm not so much appalled that he didn't make it in. I'm just appalled at the one person who was just like, you know what? I'm going to ruin something real special for this guy. I'm just thinking about it like that. I'm just like, you really, if he would have known, yeah, you're going to be the only vote against, you know, Derek Jeter. And the guy was like, okay. All right,
because
sounds good.
There always is that one guy.
There always is.
Don't you have that one guy, you know, out of your friend group? You got. I don't care what it is. You guys could be talking about how blue the sky is, and you're outside, and you guys are all looking up and looking at the sky that is clearly blue. But there's that one guy that says, "Nah, fellas, that sky look a little dark blue to me. It's not blue. It's dark blue." Okay. I mean, or it's red, or just loves to play devil's advocate all the time. You always have that one guy in your friend group or family that loves to do that. My dad is like that. My dad, we could be at Thanksgiving dinner, you know, and everybody agrees on so-and-so topic. But he'll come in the room and says, not true. I disagree. And then it becomes this big debate. Some people just love to stir the pot. And like you said, that was well put. You got this one guy who votes opposite and ruins something that could have been very, 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 very special, becoming only the second player to become a unanimous selection from the Baseball Hall of Fame to get in. I mean, it is what it is, though. And I kind of agree with Ben. Ben says, you know, he's basically saying skip that one writer. Quote, Derek Jeter was a unanimous decision for the Hall of Fame. Al, I don't care if it was 99.7%. He still made it. He and Larry Walker both got voted into the Hall of Fame. And that's the major point out of this whole thing. Who cares? You're a Hall of Famer. You are in. DJ, enjoy it, my friend, because you certainly deserve it. If I had on a baseball cap right now, I would give you that tip of the cap that was made famous in the Nike commercial during his last season. Respect, DJ. That's awesome stuff. All right, folks. Well, that is all the time we have for this Facebook Live and WKAR.org version of today's current sports. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Same deal, because we are off WKAR AM 870 and 105.1 FM for the rest of the week due to the Senate impeachment hearings. Again, you can check out our coverage of those hearings by just turning on your dial to AM 870, 105.1 FM. We'll be following those Senate impeachment hearings throughout its entirety. But if you want your daily dose of current sports at that time, again, you now know that we will be on Facebook.com/WKAR News. And of course, we'll be posting the podcast version of the show courtesy of WKAR.org. Have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday. Temps in the low 30s, partly cloudy skies. It's just good to see the sun, right, around this time of the year. And as always, folks, be easy, people.